Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Nemetschek AG Half Year 2013 conference call. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Stefanie Zimmermann, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, madam.
Thank you, operator, for introducing the conference call. Good morning, everybody, and a warm welcome to our conference call regarding the first half 2013. We have prepared a presentation for you to highlight the most important figures and events for the first half of this year. At the moment, we are currently having about 20 participants in this call. Thank you all for your interest in Nemetschek. Now let's start with the presentation, and I would like to hand over to Mrs. Tanja Tamara-Dreilich, who will lead you through the presentation. Go ahead.
Thank you, Stefanie, and good morning, everybody. Welcome to our conference call. As I did last time, I would like to make first a kind of executive summary on the most important points that determined the first half of the year 2013. I would like to raise revenue, shortly profit side, and as well as outlook, and then we will start into the presentation. We see on the revenue side that revenue growth was 5% opposite last year. Compared to the analyst consensus, the revenue was a little bit lower than the market expectation. The analyst consensus was 89.7 million euros, and we achieved by actual revenues 88.5 million euros. What are the growth drivers of the revenue? Actually, mainly it was maintenance business. We have a very solid and very positive growth rate of 9%. Especially maintenance was stimulated by international revenues. 11% was a contribution by our international revenues on maintenance. We have the license business that is, for me, a little disappointing and nearly flat. You see only 1% growth of the license business. There you see basically the adverse effect as we see on the maintenance business. We see on license, basically that the license revenues in the international markets are going down really significantly. We see main decreases in markets like Spain and Italy. In general, if you compare the first half 2013 opposite 2012, we have to say that the Southern European economic flatness even extended. We really see a higher impact on decreasing revenues and profits from Southern Europe than last year. We see also a decrease in revenues coming from Japan, France, and Benelux. This is also new, what we haven't discovered in last year period. In general, we see maintenance business, as I said, very good, especially in the design segment, 9% up, and as well in the multimedia business, more than 37% up. We see a license business up in the build business by 19% and the managed business by 36%. You can also see that it's good to have a very leveraged portfolio, product portfolio that we have, so that we have some adverse compensating effects. Now coming to the regions and the regional impact. We see an over proportional growth in Germany, 8% plus opposite first half of 2012. That's really an increment, a very good result. We see if we compare the first half 2013 to the first half 2012, also an adverse effect. In the first half 2012, we had a revenue growth in Germany of 5%. In 2013, we had 8%. International markets grew 8% in 2012 first half, and we see only 3% this year. As I said, this is mainly determined by a deepness or a deep decrease in the Southern European markets, deeper than last year. We see also France and Benelux and Japan joining. I want to remark here that we see that France and Japan is already in a very positive mode, so they are recovering. We saw this in May and June, and so I expect also for the second half of the year a much better result for France and Japan. In general, if I cluster the regions, I see that basically EMEA, so Germany and the European markets, are 5% up opposite last year, so we have 5% growth, and as you know, this determines more or less the revenue growth of the group. We see Asia Pacific also with a growth rate of 5%. We see some actually reluctance to invest in Asia, so we have an extraordinary market, China, with a revenue growth rate of 60%, so I spell it 60%, which is also positively influenced for sure by our MOU that we signed last year. It's the CBR Tech MOU in order to define the BIM standard in China. We have a good solid development in Singapore, but we see the Japanese market, as I mentioned before, on the license revenues at a moderate growth rate of 4%, but as I said, we already initiated measures and initiatives actually at the end of the first quarter that we will see in the second half of the year. So we see as our third region, Americas, basically the U.S. market. U.S. market is performing at a growth rate of 23%, and we have South America with 19%, so really robust, solid growth market, which enjoys a lot, but as you can see on the total result, at least for the first half of the year, they could not overcompensate actually the deep decreases in the Southern European markets. I also want to mention that within all these figures, there are no revenues or no material revenues coming from BIM Plus, and there are no material revenues coming from the corporation Adobe Maxon, which I will explain later on. So maybe switching to the profit side, you see that we met expectations. The EBITDA margin is 23%, and we have an EBITDA growth of 12% compared to the first half of 2012. So for me, it's a very solid result here, and I will go into more details on the profit side then during the presentation. Just a short outlook for the second half of the year. And I start again with the regions and then coming to basically the segments and then to the mix concerning license and maintenance. The outlook for the second half of the year is that we will again have a strong or even stronger EMEA. So we have a strong so-called DACH region, which is Germany, Austria, Switzerland. We see that France is regaining and recovering. And we have strong UK and strong Russia. So by the way, Russia is also 28% up in terms of growth and UK 9%. So this will help us to even improve in the second half of the year on EMEA. We see on Asia Pacific that Japan will recover. So the strong initiatives and also new releases in Japan will help us to bring the license sales back, but also to bring the general Asia Pacific results back, which was really a little disappointing in the first half of the year. And we see America still strong at a level of nearly 20%. So this is the short overview that I wanted to provide you with, and now I'm jumping into the presentation and starting with page number 2, where you see the headlines for the first half of the year. So basically, the solid performance that we saw in the first quarter continued in all of our segments in the second quarter. I would like to mention that even the design segment, you know, it's the biggest one, improved in the second quarter opposite the first quarter. And also this gives me a lot of confidence that we will have a good second half of the year. Overall, the revenues increased by 5% to 88.5 million euros. As you can see, this was mostly driven by the strong revenues coming from our maintenance business, as I mentioned before. And I also mentioned that it was mainly also, or it had a very strong contribution coming from international markets. So I also commented actually the software license revenues, which were just higher than last year. So I'm personally not satisfied with this development. As I've seen this even in the first quarter, we initiated some measures and initiatives, as I said, and they will turn out in the second half of the year. Coming to our profitability, we saw an overproportional growth in our EBITDA, so our operating expenses grew slower than our revenues did. Our cost measures showed effects, so that EBITDA was up by 12% to 20.4 million euros. EBITDA margin thus came in at 23%. All in all, compared to the analyst consensus, we are a bit lower than market expectations regarding revenues, but in terms of EBITDA margin, we fully met the expectations. I will also highlight how the purchase price allocation from the acquisition of Profisoft and SIA affects our bottom line. You see here the EPS KPI, including the effects of the PPA, came in 21% higher year over year at 1.04 euros per share. Without the effects of PPA, this would have been at a 1.37 euros per share. And I would like also to mention that from the 1st January 2014 onwards, the PPA will decrease from 7.05 million euros currently to 2.9 million euros, and this will for sure give us a good upside on the EPS. So our net cash, I don't want to leave this out because this is a very strong number, as you know, is on a very comfortable level of 48.7 million euros, even after paying a dividend after our annual general meeting in May this year. All in all, we paid out 11.1 million euros. So I'm moving to page number 3, which is reflecting the product news. So the main actually release that we have in the first half of the year is ARCHICAD 17, which was released in June. And it was released worldwide. It contains significant enhancements and additions that simplify the modeling and documentation of buildings, even if the model contains a high level of detail. So ARCHICAD 17 offers the best BIM-based documentation workflow, which is available on the market today. The end-to-end BIM workflow allows the model to stay live till the very end of the project. So it really delivers state-of-the-art and actual figures. So just a few words to some other releases. For example, Vectorworks launched their so-called Nomad mobile application for Kindle Fire, which is now available via the Amazon App Store. And Vectorworks has also launched the localized Japanese and Chinese versions of the 2013 product line. From those and from some other activities concerning their sales channel, we expect, as I said, for the second half of the year, some improvements of the Asian revenues. In our engineering business here, Engineer's new version enables faster localization for building codes. So both Vectorworks and SIA help us with the new releases to reinforce the internationalization in the second half of the year, as we are expecting their higher international revenues. Our BIM Plus platform has evolved since the first show in January 2013 at the Bau Trade Fair in Munich. In April, the BIM Plus platform was presented for the first time in the U.S. at the technology conference TechCrunch Direct in New York. The customer feedback is very positive, and they really like the cloud-based pay-per-use platform. We have started already with beta customers to test our BIM Plus platform, and meanwhile, the development of BIM Plus 1.0 is nearly finished, including our cloud-based BIM Plus server, a web shop, and different apps and modeling tools that you need to sell your product. So market launch for BIM Plus is planned for late summer. Regarding revenue to impact in the fiscal year, as I said, also in Q1, will be relatively small. And of course, there are some costs involved. We see that actually costs for product innovation, or let's call it solution innovation, like BIM Plus, actually costs us 1.3 percentage points of the total EBITDA margin for the first half of the year. So we are really investing into the future. Another important highlight in the quarter two was the release of the new version of Adobe After Effects on June 17 this year. Users in the motion and visual graphics sector benefit from an optimized workflow, so they shortened rendering times, and they have now more functionalities for creating their digital media content. The reaction of existing and new customers is extremely positive. Looking at the revenue potential, we see already a positive development, as I told you in the first quarter call. And we have seen that there was some reluctance of the especially U.S. customers towards the launch of the Adobe and Maxon release. But we saw then in June and also see it in July that not only actually user registrations are taking place, but also the orders come in. And as I said in the executive summary, that we haven't seen a huge impact on the revenue of the first half of 2013 on the Adobe and Maxon Corporation, for sure we have higher expectations for the second half of the year. But as usual, if you do something new, then there are some costs involved, and this is also what we have included in the first half of the year results. Some intensified sales and marketing efforts on Maxon, but for sure also some extended development efforts, as Maxon has already released a new version, the release 15, on July 25th this year. So this all comes together and will give Maxon a very, very strong position in the multimedia market. I'm moving to page number 4, which is basically a summary on the awards that the brand, the very successful brand of the company, remained and received. So our awards we received lately show how well we are positioned in our industries. So Nivaris has won the prestigious Red Dot Award, so which is, as you know, a very prestigious design award. This award attests to Nivaris that they are really one of the best within design and business. So additionally, Cinema 4D won the Macworld Award 2013 for best 3D and video software because of their user-friendliness and depth of new features. And also, Vectorworks Nomad Mobile Application and Cloud Services were named runner-up by the American Institute of Architects, IAA. So we really have also quite a lot of awards that we win during the shows in our industry. On page number 6, I would like to dig into the profitability of the first half of the year, so we are within the expectations, and so this was mainly driven by the development, as I said, of our core markets in the so-called DACH region, so Germany, Austria, Switzerland. All in all, we had a revenue increase in our home market Germany of 8% to 35.3 million euros. The group was able to increase its international revenues to 53.2 million euros plus 3%, as I mentioned before. We still have a challenging market situation in the southern part of Europe. I explained this a little bit more in detail up front. The share of revenues from abroad was at a level of 60%, and I'm pleased to say, as I said before, that we have and see a very positive development also lasting for the next half of the year and beyond in North, Central, South America, also Russia, UK, and as I said, I see a recovery in France and Japan, and so some strong markets are coming back. So EBITDA grew stronger than our revenues did. Operating costs grew only by 2%. Our EBITDA margin came at 60%, so that we are fully in line with our guidance. Our tax rate was at the previous fiscal year's level at 28%. Net income went up by 21% to 10 million euros. So earnings per share came at 1.04 euros and EPS without depreciation resulting from PPA increased by 1.37 euros, I also mentioned this before. Coming to page number 7 on the net cash development, Nemetschek continues to stay highly cash generating as you see. In the first half of 2013, we saw the operating cash flow increasing by 13% to 90.1 million euros. Operating cash flow put in relation with our EBITDA of 20.4 million euros led to a conversion rate of very high 94%. So on May 16, we held our annual general meeting here in Munich, paying out a total of 11.1 million euros of dividends to our shareholders. The dividend per share was 1.15 euros and the dividend yield was 3.5% accordingly. So we have kept our dividend policy to pay out a dividend of 25 to 30% of operating cash flow. Coming to our free cash flow times 16.6 million euros. CapEx was at 2.5 million euros. Thus, at the end of Q2, we had a net cash position of 48.7 million euros, which put us in a very comfortable position for our future growth. Coming to page number 8, divisional performance. On the revenue side, the divisions Build, Manage, and Multimedia developed very nicely and were the growth drivers in the first half. We saw growth rates between 8 and 11%, and we've seen all these three segments positive signs for the second half of the year. As I said, I see as well positive signs in the design segment, which grew moderately in the first half of the year. I mentioned why. So we have the sudden European impact, but also markets like France, Benelux, and Japan being really not very good in the first half of the year, but as I said, Japan and France is recovering. The division design grew moderately, as I said, but it improved, and this is something that I want to mention, and this is important for sure. We saw a growth rate of 3% in the first quarter. We saw now a growth rate of 4% in the second quarter, and for sure I'm very ambitious to try the growth rate even beyond this in the second half of the year. From a regional market perspective, we saw positive development in the so-called DACH region in UK, Russia, whereas we still have challenging markets in Southern Europe. I explained this, I think, before. So we see a very good and stable development in the Americas, so US and South America. One thing that I would like to mention, you see that we have really very good improvements in terms of revenues and EBITDA also on the smaller segments like those managed. This is also an effect that we actually strengthened our strategy here and that we also allowed them to even look beyond other segments where they are historically not so far involved in. And we also see here a positive effect of their cooperation with Tokyware. So basically, I would like to switch basically to the outlook on page number 10. So the Market Research Institute Euroconstruct published their latest update in June 2013. All in all, they expect a decline in investments of around 2.8% in 2013. Formerly, they predicted a decline of around 1.5%, and as I said, we see in some markets that actually there is some reluctance and some hesitancy to invest. At least we see in the project business that some projects have been postponed from the first half of the year to the second half of the year. And the most decline the Euroconstruct is expecting is coming from Spain with more than 20% decline. Also, some markets, specific sector Republic, is down 6%, Italy nearly 4%, France down 3%, and so on. But actually, the construction output is expected to grow in most of our markets, which are key for us, like Germany, Switzerland, and Austria. And also the growth markets, as I mentioned, so Brazil is expected to grow 40%, Russia 8%, Norway 6%, US 4%, Japan 4%. So we see, even if there are some challenges, I don't want to really hide this. There are challenges, but we see a solid environment in which we can grow even further in the second half of the year. Concerning BIM products and service solutions, there is a prominent PIKE research that sees a lot of growth, basically coming to 6.5 billion additional growth in 2020, really generated by BIM plus related products and services. So we see that the situation for our market is still solid in 2013, and for 2014 we also expect a good momentum. So based on this, we confirm the prospects published in the 2012 annual report, whereby revenue growth is expected rather at the lower end of the range of around 6 to 9%, given actually the Southern European impact and the impacts that I mentioned before. But on the profitability side, we expect an EBITDA margin between 22 and 24%. And basically finalizing this, I would like to refer to page number 11, which reflects the investor relations calendar and some activities that we have in front of us. So I would like to conclude the presentation and thank you for your attention. And now I'm happy to take your questions. Thank you for that.
Thank you. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speaker, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask your question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Mr. Andreas Wolf by Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hello, good morning. A couple of questions from my side. The first one is regarding the other operating expense, which increased in Q2 over Q1. So maybe you could explain this a bit more. Is it linked to the product launches that you had? Then is this also the reason why the EBITDA in design and multimedia declined sequentially? I see that in multimedia we had lower revenues compared to Q1, so maybe you could explain this as well. The sequential revenue growth in multimedia declined from some 16% to 2%. So it would be interesting to know what your view on this is. And then the last question is regarding Adobe. What's actually the revenue that Nemetschek receives for the light version for each license? So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Wolf, for your questions. Coming basically back to your first questions on the operating results and expenses in Q4 that indeed increased opposite the first quarter. We see, as you said, it's because of several product launch preparations. So we see product launches, as I said, of Graphisoft, which was launched in June. So we see preparation for the product launch of Maxon Release 15, which took place on July 25th. And we see also a lot of efforts for improvement, as I mentioned before, on the Nomad version of Vectorworks, so for the Japanese and Chinese market. So this all led actually to additional, consulting also expenses in terms of development. This also led to the fact that especially on multimedia, as I mentioned, on Maxon, we had additional expenses on marketing especially, but also for Graphisoft, and as I said, also for Vectorworks. So all these three brands that are involved in product launches had increased expenses in Q2, especially compared to Q1. And all these, or the main, let's say, brands, Graphisoft and Vectorworks, they refer to this design segment. Therefore, you see actually not even a higher increase in terms of EBITDA margin on the design. So without this, we would have seen a much better EBITDA margin on design. On design, as I mentioned also, there is SimPlus, so, and the product innovation. So actually, yeah, if you want to have prospects in the future, you need to invest in new technology. So this is what we are doing there, and it's for sure burdened the margin in the design segment. As I said, overall 1.3 percentage points on the EBITDA margin for the group, but as we reported, it's based on the design segment. So what also actually burdened the operating expenses in Q2, and I don't want to hide this, is basically that we really had some additional personal advisory costs for especially recruiting. We hired 5 new managers for Outlan, including the CEO of Outlan, who will basically start his assignment 1st of October. We also renewed most parts of the finance and controlling and legal and internal audit and compliance department of the holding. So we have really a new team here, and we set new structures here, and this actually resulted in some additional personal advisory costs. We have also and these are one-time costs, so we don't have this in actually the second half of the year. We see also some legal advisory costs of legal cases that we are in. So we have really quite a lot of contracts that we need to optimize, actually contracts dated 2001, 6, 8, and so on, really old stuff. But we will lead to a better conditions. Lead to better terms and conditions here that will help us actually, especially next year. And therefore, also we have some additional legal advisory costs. So this is also one time, and we will see some of this in Q3, but less than 50%. But as also the chairman of the supervisory board announced at the General Assembly, we have also some legal advisory costs involved in filing some of the former executive board members. So this all led to this actually operating expenses in Q2. Coming back to the question that you had on multimedia revenue growth, as I said, we have seen in May and June, basically upfront, the launch of the newly combined product of Adobe After Effects and Maxon, that there was really a kind of reluctance in especially the U.S. market. And the U.S. market is nearly 50% of the revenue size of total multimedia for Maxon. So, and this for sure led to this kind of slower revenue growth opposite the first quarter. But as I said, after the launch was really published and the launch took into action and the first products have been shipped, we saw really orders coming in. And so I'm expecting for the second half of the year really a much more lively revenue growth on Maxon again. Coming back to the Adobe deal, and I think you mentioned in general the business model behind the Adobe deal. The Adobe deal is mainly driven by upgrades that that Maxon is offering to a new customer base, which is the Adobe customers. We know that this customer base is really huge on After Effects and also on some suites of Adobe. And they actually, Maxon is generating their revenue based on these upgrades and this additional business. This is their business that they can internalize 100%.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. Alexander Dreves by Montega AG. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you. Maybe a follow-up on the Maxon cooperation with Adobe. Could you give us a flavor on your revenue and EBITDA expectations for the years to come? Then for M&A, is there anything in the pipeline? And the third question would be regarding your guidance. You mentioned that you expect the revenue guidance to be reached at the lower end. After these expenses in Q2, do you expect for the EBITDA margin it also to be at the lower or at the higher end?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Trace, for your question. Again, I'm starting with the Adobe Corporation. So for the second half of the year 2013, actually we planned only a slight increase in revenues for Maxon. Yeah, so even not more than actually a percentage that is up to 5%, something like this. So it's so really a slow revenue increase. And for the outer years, it's difficult still to predict. Yeah, so the launch was now on the 17th of June, and we really need some days more to give a solid explanation and also a solid forecast for the next month, quarters, and years to come. So I don't want to even over-promise or under-promise, so I need a little bit more detailed information on that.
Okay, excuse me. These 5% that's for the whole group or for the Maxon revenue?
Only for Maxon,
okay.
The second half. So on M&A, as I also explained in the Q1 call, for sure we have a shortlist with listed companies we are looking quite closely in, but currently we don't have anything to announce or to disclose here. So we are looking for sure into it given the strong cash position and given the fact that we want even to improve our technology position and also our regional strength and our regional coverage. So as I said, we are really looking into some shortlisted companies, but there is so far nothing to disclose yet. On the guidance, concerning the guidance on revenues and also on EBITDA margin, as I said, starting with the EBITDA margin, there are some actually one-time impacts also on the costs that we have seen in Q2. But as a conservative person, I always shoot for the middle. Yeah, so we will have the 23% actually guidance couldn't be wrong. But actually, there is so much even possible. Yeah, so. Therefore, I have given the range of 22 to 24%. 23 is for sure very plausible, and this is actually part of the guidance that I have given. On the guidance on the revenues, actually, we see us, given the fact that there is some reluctancy to invest in Asia, yeah, for instance, in Japan, so we don't know how fast actually the Japanese market will recover. We know it will recover, but how fast I cannot predict here. And the same situation that we have seen in France. Yeah, we know it's May and June, and what we see now in July, it proves that it really bounces back and that it recovers. But is it really that solid, that strong until this year end? I can also not predict yet, given all these circumstances. So the revenue guidance is, as I said, on the lower end, which is 6 to 7%. So 6% is actually the minimum that we would like to achieve and that we will achieve.
Okay, but you don't expect any significant one-time expenses in Q3 or Q4?
As I said, basically we are in all legal cases that you can ever think of, so there shouldn't come any further new cases to that. And given the information that I currently have, I don't think that there will be huge risks for the second half of the year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Treves.
The next question comes from Knut Woller, Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for taking my questions. First, on the EBITDA, so is it then fair to assume, I think, to see a turnaround then sequentially in the third quarter again compared to Q2, given that the majority of the product launch costs have already been booked in the second quarter? Then just on maintenance growth in 2014, we have seen now in the first half lower than expected license growth, and I expect that the major reason also for you going moving to the low end of your revenue guidance for the full year. I'm aware that you have some initiatives and some products that have very low penetration rate with maintenance, but do you see a risk that 2014 won't see the same maintenance growth rate given the lower license growth than expected as we have seen now in 2013? And then lastly on BIM Plus, you said that the impact on 13 is relatively minimal. Can you give us an idea what the revenue impact of BIM Plus is expected for 2014? Is that something where you expect a single-digit contribution in terms of millions in 14, or don't you want to specify that? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Waller. On the EBITDA margin, I expect in Q3 and Q4 actually some improvements opposite Q2. Yes, that's the case. And I'm not only expecting this, indeed some one-time impact will basically not show up in the next quarter. But as I said, I always will guide this within the guidance of 22% to 24%. On maintenance growth and license growth, indeed, yes, the license decreases or the license revenue decreases that we have seen in the first half of the year, I don't expect them to actually repeat at least level in the second half of the year and also not for 2014. So this should be actually the lower end that we have seen. And on the maintenance growth for the second half of the year and 2014, it is a strong maintenance growth, no doubt, but actually I don't expect now a sharp decrease in actually the second half of the year or 2014. So this is my expectation on that. And actually on BIM Plus, the revenue potential that we see on BIM Plus is really not that material. So material for me is 1 million upwards in revenues, and I don't see this material number so far.
Okay, thank you. And just to clarify on the maintenance, so you said no sharp decrease, but does it still imply a slight decrease given the lower license revenues that you're expecting in your model?
Actually, there are so many compensating effects of the different brands and the different markets. So, for instance, Vectorworks just initiated their maintenance business in Japan. So, for sure, as they are just initiating, I could expect some more growth on maintenance, for instance, in Japan further on. Actually, the maintenance growth came from some international markets, as I said, but we are still not at the end. As I said, multimedia is, for instance, a very strong contributor to maintenance. And they have just started their maintenance business roughly 1.5 years ago. So there is a lot of room actually to grow. So we are not at any kind of, let's say, maturity phase. Yeah. So therefore, what I'm saying, I don't expect sharp decreases. I cannot predict precisely if the maintenance growth will be at a level of 9% next year, 2014. I cannot predict if it's 8% or if it's 10%, but I don't expect a sharp decrease.
Okay, thank you very much.
As As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01. There are currently no further questions.
So, okay, then let's conclude the presentation. Thank you all for listening to our conference call. If you should have a question after the call, so please feel free to contact me. You will find my contact details on page 11 of the presentation. And so I wish you a nice day and, yeah, all the best. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may now disconnect.